Good evening, you're listening to Radio Reverb's HIV Hour. We broadcast every first and third Thursdays at 7 p.m. and we repeat throughout the month. Check the Radio Reverb schedule on the website, radioreverb.com, or you can listen to us on 97.2 FM and DAB Plus Radio. You can check out our social pages on Twitter and Instagram, and our handles are at HIV_hour, and you can join our Facebook page at HIV Hour Reverb. And why not drop us an email? You can contact us on hivhour@gmail.com. And you can also listen and subscribe to our famous podcasts. Just type in HIV Hour in your favourite podcast platform. To listen to the full HIV Hour show, go to the Radio Reverb website Listen Again page. The HIV Hour, positively helping to change hearts and minds.
Well done again, David.
Oh, yes, good
evening.
Well
done.
Congratulations.
Well done.
And happy Pride, everyone.
Happy Pride.
Pride week.
Well, yeah, so it's different because obviously Pride Month is in June for most of the country, and but in August, haven't we?
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm. So yeah, first weekend of August.
It's going to be, I don't know what the weather's going to be like, but we'll see.
We've just got to keep everything crossed, haven't we?
Yes.
We like doing that.
I've had some really wet prides in the time, in the past with brollies and...
Oh, sorry.
It's all the glitter running down the gutters and it just turns into a big gay Glastonbury in the park. It's fun.
I've noticed.
Well, I'm certainly not going to be wearing my wellies.
You're not?
No, I'm not.
What are you wearing?
I don't know, but they're not going to be wellies.
So I believe, little birdie tells me you're going to be in the parade.
I am. Mm. I am. I'm going to be one of the marshals.
Ooh.
Marshals. I've never been a
laying down the law.
I think I've been a marshal in the past, but I can't remember. But
Who are you marshalling?
Representing Terence Higgins Trust.
Oh, good.
We have to keep all the participants in order, like all the other.
It's a big parade nowadays.
Yes, yeah. It's going to be big as usual.
It's a festival, isn't it? Really?
Yes, it is. Yeah. I mean, it's amazing how it's changed from what used to be a sort of almost a protest movement, so now a celebration of diversity and inclusion.
Exactly.
So the track to start with was Music by Madonna, which gets us in the mood, doesn't
gets
it?
Gets you in the mood.
Yes. So what do you... Well, there's three of us into the studio, isn't there? There's me, you and Sue, obviously, David.
Hello, Josh.
Hello. Stephen's doing a story and we're going to put that on later.
Mm-hmm.
And Tony, he can't make it today, so... Mm. How are you?
I'm good, so we had a really good Zero HIV Stigma Day. That was a couple of Fridays ago, which we'll talk about later.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I've been busily working on other things, stigma projects that I'm aware of, HIV stigma. Hopefully, tell you more about that as the time comes.
Keep going. And yourself, Sue?
Yeah, not so bad. Getting back into work from my holidays. Takes a long time to get back into. Whenever you have a few days off or whenever it is, and getting back into the swing of it takes a bit of a while. I seem to have felt more exhausted when I got back, and I thought I've just been lying on a beach for the last 10 days. But hey, ho. Getting back into work, obviously getting ready for Pride at the weekend. Mm. Lots of things going on. And like David said, we're going to be talking about the... stigma rally that we was in Brighton.
Yeah, I mean, we could talk about it now, actually.
What have you been up to, Josh?
I'm just getting ready for Pride because I've got a few gigs coming on, which is great.
Yeah, you're DJing, aren't you?
Yes, a few times, which is great. I'm looking forward to it.
Mm.
Hope the weather will stay kind to us.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it. I'm getting my... I think I've said to the listeners before about I'm doing up my little studio at home.
Mm-hmm.
Actually put some records on the shell. I actually painted the shelves, which I'm really glad.
Can't believe
it. It took me a while, but I painted them and just want to put... I didn't have much sleep one day and I thought, I just woke up and I thought, I've got to get those records on the shelves. So it's coming together, which is great.
Great. Mm-hmm.
So on the show today is we've got the lovely Gary Smith.
A regular on the show, isn't he?
Yeah, he's been on before. He's coming on just to talk to us because Pride's coming up and it's such a long weekend.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It can be kind of, it just goes on, doesn't it? It's quite a few days.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And just some advice and some support about, if just to be...
Keeping safe in the city.
Keeping yourself safe and enjoying yourself, but keeping safe and
knowing what resources and things are out there to help you keep safe in the city.
Yes, so he's going to come on shortly. So
good.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about the Zero HIV Stigma
Day. That was the first one ever globally, wasn't it? So it was a combination of the International AIDS care providers and the NAS project,
so, yes.
And
yes.
I think UNAIDS mm-hmm. took it on as well. So it was the date was chosen to, because it was Prudence Mabele's mm-hmm. Birthday, and she was one of the first yeah. women in South Africa to come out yeah. publicly about living with HIV mm. in the early 1990s yeah. when there was a lot of stigma. So she was very brave to sort of put mm. her head above the parapet and say, look, I have HIV and this is what it's like. And it was great. All the charities within Brighton and Hove seemed to be working towards together, THT. Mm-hmm. So we were there as a studio team, weren't we, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Interviewing people. I was there with more to me than HIV.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. so you were speaking, weren't you? So how do you think mm-hmm. it went, the rally today?
I think, I mean, the organisation of it was brilliant.
Yeah, so we have to thank.
So, you know, I mean, and you took a great part in that as well, didn't mm, you, David?
Yeah, so the leads were Gary from Lunch Positive, you know, and Eileen from the Clawson Unit. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. For something to come off well, there has to be organisation for it to come off well, and it came off well, and the reason why it came off well is because the excellent organisation.
The community response. I mean, exactly. The council were really helpful. Like they provided mm-hmm. us with funds to make it a mm-hmm. much more a professional show with proper staging. And,
exactly.
And
yeah.
What have you. We had the Martin Fisher Foundation bus in the square.
Exactly, and it was fantastic. I think I was about the third person on, and I felt so proud to be part of the Brighton and Hove community, and to stand up on a platform as I love to do, and to literally, you know, speak about stigma and how. It doesn't have to be this way, and joining in unity and joining together to pull down them walls of stigma, and we can all do it.
Yeah.
So I was privileged and honoured to have spoken.
And also, I was watching, and people were walking past, and they were kind of intrigued, especially when the chorus, Rainbow Chorus, was
on,
and they came to look at it, and saw the bus with the message on the Marty Fisher bus. So. Slowly, and
it was very public, wasn't it? And that was one of the what touched me and moved me was that there was all these people saying I've got HIV in the square together.
Yes.
It was like an early pride march. Mm-hmm. It was like almost not saying we were proud of living with HIV. It was like, this is what living with HIV looks like now.
Yes.
We're just as widely diverse a population as everybody walking through the square.
Exactly.
And I had a friend come down who is heterosexual, and I asked him about what he thought about stigma, and he didn't think there was any stigma around.
Yeah, which is amazing.
Mm-hmm. So he came down and he listened, and he was asking questions, which is what that rally was about.
Yes.
It's about asking questions for people who have HIV and not being frightened of that.
Yeah.
And he learned a lot, actually, so that's what those things are about. So even if one person gets something from it or learns something, or I think that's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
There's some great photos on from the day. So if you go to the Martin Fisher Foundation website, and I think they've got a little page all about the day itself, and so photographs from the day. And we're actually all in the photograph. So
wonderful.
Viewers, if you didn't get a chance to meet us on the day, you can see our ugly mugs. On the
speak
Martin Fisher Foundation
though.
Website.
Yeah, speak for yourself, love.
Well, actually, there's a lovely photo of you two together.
Together.
I've got my own.
Oh, no.
I've got a nice big smile there.
Oh, good. Yes.
For change.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, should we get on with the show?
Get on with the show.
Get on with it. We are getting on.
We are. That's true. You're all right. Yeah. So we'll have Freedom, George Michael, which I love. And then we'll come back with the lovely Gary Smith.
Yes.
Wonderful.
HIV Hour is the UK's only show for people living with HIV, sharing stories, news and views on living positively with the virus.
You've just tuned in. This is the HIV Hour on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM in the Brighton area, .com online. You can always get us on our amazing, famous podcast. We have in the studio today Gary Smith. Welcome, Gary, to the HIV Hour.
Hello, very pleased to be here.
How are you doing, Gary?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
Oh, good. Yeah, you've been in before, haven't you?
Yes, I have.
So, so we've got Pride coming up on Saturday.
Definitely,
And, you know, so what is your role?
Well, my role, so I work as part of the Brighton and Hove Recovery Service, which is now CGL, and I'm the LGBT support within that organisation. So I support members of the community. A lot of the guys that, and the people that I support are living with HIV, and I link in very closely with a lot of the HIV services within the city. I've done that for 12 years now.
Right. And I mentioned Pride because it's obviously we want people to have a safe Pride and an enjoyable Pride, and sometimes people can sort of party a little bit to excess, can't they? Or, you know, if they drink a little bit too much, or if they've been in the sunshine a long time and they've drunk a lot, it can be a bit dangerous for people.
Yeah, so I think so. I think it's people being mindful of, particularly in regard to alcohol, how much alcohol they're using. And then obviously that can be triggering other drug use. And then if people are using a combination of drugs, that can be dangerous, particularly illicit drugs, because obviously you don't know how strong these drugs are, where they're coming from. And so it's just being aware of potential risk and trying to keep yourself as safe as possible.
And when you as a professional, you actually get updates, don't you? And sort of news flashes about things that are happening. So can you just tell us what you've been told this week?
Exactly. I mean, quite recently there's been some alerts of heroin that has been coming down from London that is incredibly strong, and people at serious risk of overdose. So people just be very much aware and very careful about, you know, what you are using, and obviously advise your friends. And that's why we as an organisation are here, and why we link in with all of the other LGBT services, because it's particularly with emerging trends, because it's good that we're all aware of what's happening out there.
I mean, it's a completely sort of judgment-free service that you offer, and it's an LGBT service that you're specialising in. And I'm not ashamed to say that actually I was one of your clients many years ago. In fact, it was probably one of your first. It must be 12 years
ago. I think you were, David.
Ago.
So has come through the door, was it?
I think it was a brand new service when Gary was doing it, and I needed some help. I was having some problems with pain medication, and I didn't really want to access traditional drug services because I didn't want to be tempted into other sort of avenues of escaping my pain. And so you very kindly actually came to my house regularly, and we talked through things and sort of helped me sort of identify some goals that I could reach and make some changes in my life. And that's when I started to become a beekeeper, as getting a hobby and a pastime that sort of got me into the countryside and away from, getting used to the pain of bee stings instead, and it's a different way of doing things.
Our paths have crossed over the other work that you've been, you know, very proactive in the work that you've done at the Sussex Beacon, and obviously we, you know, have engaged with clients that have been admitted to the Beacon and afterwards as well.
So tell us about your team. So you've got an expanded team.
Yes, we have. Over the last year, we've expanded the team. So there's now three of us now. So there's my colleague Tom and the Sophie. So there's now three of us. We're part of the outreach team as well. So we do have the flexibility to, to meet people, to assess them in the community, to get them in, to get them through the door, to get them to access the support that they need, whether that's one-to-one support or engaging with our group programs. And there's a hell of a lot of recovery focused activities that are going on in the city, through Cascade, through the Brighton Clear, which is Crystal Meth Anonymous Group, which runs from THT, also runs from the Ledgewood Centre, because obviously over the last few years we've had the emergence of chemsex, and now we're having a number of people coming through the door wanting to get help and support with their drug use.
Will you have a stall at Pride, because they usually have stalls, don't they?
Definitely going to be in the parade this year, but I don't think we have it.
What are you
going
to be wearing?
No?
Go on.
That's a secret, David.
That's for Gary to know and you to find out. Nice.
Well, let's keep our fingers crossed in regard to the weather. Everybody. I mean, it's about celebration, everybody enjoying themselves and having a great time.
Even too much sun can be, you can sort of be dangerous, can't it?
And for people to be aware, if they're with their friends and they're concerned about friends, there are safe places to go in the park to get help. It's to be aware.
Where do you find out about that? Pride website?
Exactly.
So there are maps and guides.
And St John's Ambulance are going to be there,
of course.
Sorry, go on, Sue.
No, Gary, I was just going to ask you a question. In your years of experience of been doing what you've been doing, fantastic work in,
thank you,
in the city.
Yeah.
What have you seen a change of things in the last, say, 5 or 6, 7 years from when you first came into what you're doing now?
Well, I think going back further than that, we've had the emergence of chemsex,
yes,
and so, you know, sort of just working together with THT, with the sexual health services, to ensure that people could access and get the support that they need, and sort of keeping people safe. Mm-hmm. And you know, obviously with people that have been smoking crystal meth, going on injecting, so obviously it's good, you know, working with the individuals, keeping themselves safe, to reduce and put themselves at risk. Mm-hmm. And obviously when people are extremely substance affected, you know, could put themselves at risk of hepatitis, and mm-hmm. that's why we, as the drug and alcohol service, we're actively testing people in who access our service.
How is it for Bryson then? Is it getting worse? And how did COVID make it worse for people?
Well, I think COVID was difficult for everybody. I mean, we CGL had just got the contract, so we as members of the team were working from home, and it was, you know, rather having face-to-face contact with people, it was, you know, contact over the phone, which was difficult. So I think over those 2 years, you know, through isolation, then, yeah, definitely, and particularly the higher numbers of people that were coming through that were sort of accessing support to address the increased use of alcohol.
Mm-hmm. Do people, a lot of people refer themselves to you, or they contact you directly, or are they referred to other agencies?
It's very easy. I mean, either people can self-refer or other agencies refer into us. So, mm-hmm. so basically through the Brighton and Hove Recovery website, CGL, just go in there, and it's got a referral process. You just fill in 3 boxes, and then what happens, a member of our SUIC team will then make contact with the individual and will set up a convenient time to do an initial assessment, and then they'd be booked if they're LGBT and wanted to access our support, and they can just ask for that, then be booked in a slot with me or one of my colleagues in the team.
Brilliant, brilliant.
Or just phone the main service, which is Brighton 7900.
Can I ask you, why do you do this job, Gary?
It's just very rewarding. I mean, I think as with any job, you know, it can be difficult sometimes. But I mean, you know, I've met some amazing people over the years, and people that have gone incredible journeys and come through the other side. And, you know, people like yourself, David, you know, and that is really rewarding to be a part of that journey for somebody.
People stumble
special.
Yeah. In their journeys in life. And it's just lovely that a service like yours can just sort of... You know, just give them some support.
It's when people have gone through the recovery service, you know, and some people, you know, they have relapses and they come back again and to do things differently. And I think, you know, I think it's really important that people aren't afraid to ask for the help that they need.
Yes, I think that's important to get across. Definitely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what are you doing at Pride then? Are you doing the march, and then are you doing anything else? What's your...
It's a friend's birthday on the same day, so we'll be celebrating that friend's birthday, actually.
Just a quick question, where actually are you based in Brighton, did you say?
The main service is based at Richmond House, Richmond Road.
Okay.
So we run a group programme from there. We've got a psychology team there. So, you know, the level of support that we can offer somebody, and also for me, being part of the LGBT, you know, I was at THT earlier today and I was seeing clients there. So linking in people with all the services, and we're very fortunate in Brighton that we've got a wealth of LGBT services that people can benefit from.
We'll put all the information on our Facebook and on the podcast, so you've got links as well. So,
oh, that's good.
So, any more details that people need to know if they want to contact you?
Exactly. Yeah.
Have you got any? Is there a website? Have you said that?
That's what I said. Yeah. The Brighton and Hove Recovery website. Yeah. Yeah.
CGL is what's that stand for again?
Change, Grow, Live. And they've got services all around the country.
Right,
So inspiring, those words, aren't they?
Yeah.
Because people identify a change they need, and they sort of grow, and then they can live
Exactly. And we've got lots of people that have gone through their recovery journey and they're now working as peer mentors within the service. Mm-hmm. And we encourage that as well, of course.
With lived experience of it all.
Yeah, definitely.
It's a sort of thing of like giving back, you know. Yeah. Yeah. That's so empowering, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, very much you so. Know, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for coming on. We've run out of time, but you chose a song for Pride, didn't you? Ooh. Which I love this song. So can you introduce it to our listeners?
It's Where Love Is.
Yes, with Alison Limerick.
Exactly. It? Yeah. Thank you for inviting me.
No, thank you, Gary. And again. Stay safe out there. And
All have a happy Pride, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you, Gary.
Radio Reverb. Radio Reverb.
Hey everybody, how you doing? It is the HIV Hour here and it's Stephen Hart jumping in to do a quick story about Pride. I want to just tell you the story of my friend Jonathan Blake. Jonathan was diagnosed 40 years ago with HIV and he's still living a glorious full life all these years later. Now, not everyone can pinpoint the exact time when they contracted HIV, but Jonathan thinks that he has a fair idea of when he picked up the virus. And he explains this in a story done to Pink News last year. In 1981, he visited San Francisco for a friend's wedding. While there, he visited bathhouses and had a glorious time celebrating his sexuality. The following year, he visited a doctor after developing painful enlarged lymph nodes that led him to being diagnosed with HIV, making him one of the first people diagnosed with the virus in the UK. Jonathan's story plays out in the 2021 Sky documentary Positive, a three-part series that delves into the start of the AIDS epidemic in the UK through the eyes of people who experienced it directly. Jonathan and others share their stories of living with HIV, while LGBT plus rights activists weigh in and reflect on the vicious, judgmental culture that grew out of the crisis. Before there was this pandemic, we were blithely ignorant and delightfully hedonistic, Jonathan tells Pink News. Everyone was having an amazing time. They were really interesting years. The 70s were a period where gay liberation was building in London, and there was a great sense of freedom that we were sort of achieving things and, of course, exploring all things sexual. At that time, Jonathan was a struggling actor who was working in a restaurant in London called Joe Allen's. There he met another gay man who wanted to explore the city's gay scene. It was amazing. And every night after we finished work, there was a group of us and we would go down and dance at Heaven. It was our way of just unwinding. It was really great, empowering years, he recalls. Tragically, the glory days didn't last. A mysterious virus was spreading through the gay community. Nobody knew what it was, and its full effects were yet to be felt. When Jonathan visited San Francisco in 1981, there was no sense of disease, he says, but there was the beginning of something in the air. At that point, I really didn't think much of it. One has to remember, of course, that there weren't mobile phones, there weren't computers, so one was dealing with landlines or letters in terms of communication, so it was all very slow. Around early 1982, there was the beginnings of the soundings that something was amiss and that there were young men falling ill to this mystery disease. Jonathan continued to work at Joe Allen's, and then one day he realised that every single lymph node in his body was erupting. The result was that he could barely put his arms down by his side. He was walking like a gorilla. He quickly made an appointment to see a GP. Jonathan says, I was living in the East End and I made an appointment to go and see her. I remember as I walked into the room, she stood up and said, shake my hand. And as I went to shake her hand, she felt the lymph node in the crook of my elbow. It was really painful. And I went, ow, what did you do that for? She said, well, that's a sailor's handshake. Whenever the sailors went into port, the women or men that they were going with would shake their hands and feel the lymph node. And if that was up, then there was a sign of syphilis and they wouldn't go with them. Jonathan's GP urged him to go for a checkup at a sexual health clinic, and shortly afterwards, Jonathan was checked into the Middlesex Hospital for tests. I arrived there and they were just all over me. They wanted to do a biopsy. And in those days, if you were taken in as an inpatient and you were a gay man, you were put into a side room. They didn't want homosexuality to infect. I mean, it was crazy, absolutely crazy. I remember being in this side room and there was another person in there and he was unbelievably unwell. You got the sense that he was on the way out, and suddenly I realised that I actually knew this person. When I'd been on tour back in 1976, a long way back, we had met in Norwich and had this affair for a week while we were there, and he was lying in one bed and I was in the other, waiting to have a biopsy. They did the biopsy and I was held there for 2 days whilst they got the results. When they came back, they told me I had persistent lymphadenopathy and it was an incurable disease. There was nothing they could do for me, but they could provide prophylactic care when the time came. I was 33 and my life was over. Of course, Jonathan actually had HIV, but it would be a couple more years before the virus would be formally identified and named. Still, hearing the words incurable sent a chill through him. Jonathan says, I was just winded. I remember I left there and went back to my flat in the East End. I closed the door and sunk into desperate depression. I really didn't know what to do. I remember that I used to go off to pubs and bars because I wanted to be around people, but I didn't want to make contact with them. So I would stand in the shadows, kind of sending out vibes, don't come near me. And it obviously worked because people didn't. In that year, in December of that year, Jonathan had started hearing about what was happening to gay men in the United States as HIV spread out of control. A story circulated about the mystery virus that was doing the rounds. Jonathan decided it would be better to take his own life than stay alive with this terminal condition. Of course, Jonathan heard the voice of his late mother saying, you clean up your own mess and don't leave it for others to clean up. Jonathan thought, I'm going to leave one hell of a mess if I do this, so I just can't do it. I just can't. So then the situation is, well, what are you going to do? If I couldn't kill myself, then I had to get on and live. But how on earth do you do that when you've got this killer virus coursing through your veins? You're like a modern day leper, and I really didn't know what to do. All these years later, Jonathan is still miraculously alive. He has no idea how or why he lived when so many others died. He was one of the first people diagnosed with HIV in the UK, but he's lived long enough to see the dawn of effective treatment in the late 90s. Jonathan says, it's amazing. I really don't understand. I know that I'm one of the lucky ones, and I don't know why. What always intrigues me is that nobody seems to be interested in why, and I think that fundamentally they should be looking at what our genetic code is. What is it that I've got that kept me going when other people had succumbed to it? Sadly, the stigma hasn't gone away. Jonathan and countless others who are living with HIV often face relentlessly cruel attitudes from people who've little to no understanding of the virus. He thinks it comes down to Britain's conservative values, and it's deeply embedded in the fear of talking about sex. Now, the reason I wanted to talk about Jonathan was that Jonathan's life was kind of captured in a film called Pride that was made here in the UK. It was a British film. It was made a number of years ago, but it's a wonderful film, wonderful cast, and Jonathan's story is told in it. I always get mixed up with Bradley Cooper or Dominic Cooper. I think it's Dominic Cooper played Jonathan's role. So check out that film if you get a chance. And the song that I want to leave you with today as my choice for Pride is Proud by Heather Small. of M People originally. And yeah, I just love this song because it says everything we need to be thinking and saying and feeling about pride. You know, it is our day to feel proud. And yeah, if you've had pride wherever you are, I hope it was a great time. And for Brighton Pride, that is going to be happening at the weekend. Have a wonderful time, everybody. And I hope it doesn't rain, but have a great time anyway. Take care, everyone. Bye.
Help keep Radio Reverb independent and ad-free. Can you make a donation to support our work? Every penny goes back into the running of the station and every pound makes a difference. If you can help, go to paypal.me/Radio Reverb.
Brilliant. That was a good little story from Stephen, wasn't it?
It was, yes. Yeah. Lovely song too.
Yeah, it's good to have that for Pride. And Gary was brilliant, actually. It's good to have that that support and know the support there if you really have trouble sometimes, don't we? Yes. So you're going to say something, Deborah, didn't you?
Well, it was about the funding, really. So so we, not only is Radio Reverb a non-profit station, and it relies, there's no adverts, as you notice, on our show, because it is entirely funded by donations and grants. But the show ourselves, the HIV Hour, we are looking to improve our services and reach more people, aren't we? So with maybe with some branding and some printing some flyers and leaflets.
It's really important, isn't it?
Yeah.
So what we'd like from you listeners, if you can you possibly contact us on our social media or our emails, which we'll mention again in a bit, and then tell us how the show has helped you or inspired you, or have it inspired you to make a change or access a service. Or you just had a giggle and you like listening to us waffle on. And we'd love to hear
you
from you. Please do, because we're looking for some quotes that we can give to potential funders about how we're reaching you and how you'd like to engage with us. And we'd love to hear from you in any way, but particularly regarding raising some money to improve the show.
Yeah. And it's so important, because the show's been going for quite a while now, and I think we do a good job, I hope so. I think
we're looking at... We're taking the HIV Hour further.
Yes, yeah.
How do we do that? And how can we reach more audiences? How can we reach more people living with HIV and affected by HIV? How can we do that? Well, it takes money, doesn't it? Like
it does.
But, this is the big plan. You know, we want to keep on doing what we're doing, but we want to do more of it in bigger and better ways.
Yeah. So anything you've helped you, any experiences or just anything really? Did you give the contact details? Twitter?
For Twitter, yes. Yeah. So if you can contact us on our social pages, which are we use the same handle for each of them. So it's at @HIV_hour. That's for Twitter, or now called X. And also Instagram. Our Facebook page is at HIV Hour Reverb. So you can just send us a quick message that way. Or if you prefer to email us, then email us on hivhour@gmail.com.
We would really appreciate
it. It would really help us.
Thank you. Yeah. So, Sue, we're going to go to a track that you've chosen for Pride. So can you tell us a little bit about it and what it's called?
Yes. Well, I'll tell you a little bit of a story, haven't it? It's a fairly recent story. As you probably all know, I banged on about my holiday, obviously. Went to Gran Canaria, had a fabulous, fabulous time with my friend Sarah, and we visited some amazing drag shows, and they were just amazing, honestly. I mean, I've seen them before, but these shows were amazing. And one of the last shows, actually on the last night we were at in Gran Canaria, they'd done their last... a whole group of them, amazing voices and everything, all dressed up, all different characters. And then they turned their backs to the stage. And then another group of people came on and sung a song. But what was happening is the drag queens were taking off all their makeup.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And they were literally dressing bare.
Mm.
And as they turned round, this song came on, and I tell you what, it really, David, it really touched my heart, and my friend Sarah was nearly in tears. And it was just saying,
Not a good ear, is it?
this, eh?
I'm sorry, I ruined the moment, sorry.
But no, it was just in the song. I thought, I mean, I just love this song anyway, but it just, you know, and I didn't recognise the guys with all their makeup and all their powders and all their, and they put a cloak on, so they were just anybody, anybody, and they were just saying to the world, this is me.
Yeah.
Be proud of who you are. And this is me, and this is the song.
I think it's a really good song, too. It's a good song.
It's from The Greatest Showman, isn't it?
Yeah, it's Keila Settle or Kettle, or he was. Oh, very powerful.
Yeah.
It's good to film that as well, I remember.
Yeah, and with Sue's story, it's sort of,
it just
puts
really,
it in my mind.
I
thought,
oh my goodness. It was just, I'll remember that for quite a long time to come,
this is
actually.
Me.
Yes, it is you. So we're coming to the end of the show, the Pride show. What's your plans for Pride? Have you
I've not made any plans. I'm going to make it up as I go along. But I'm going to hope to go and see the parade, which I did last year.
Yes.
And then just follow my nose, see what's interesting.
Wave us on.
Yes, and you'll be marching.
I'll be coming to support you, no doubt, as well. Mm-hmm.
Yes, that'd be good. What am I doing? I've got a few gigs on. So
you have?
Yes. Should I mention them?
Yes, you're at the George, aren't you, on Saturday?
It's St George on Sudley Street.
St George's Inn.
It's a thing called the Almanac, which is amazing. Mm-hmm. It's like an all-day event with lots of DJs, which is really good. So if you want to come along, it's a bit different. It's a bit out of the throng of everything, but it's such a good environment, and everyone's up for a really good party. So I'm DJing that. I think my set is about 45 minutes, so it's 4 till 4:45. But the whole day is really good. It's just fun. So that's on Saturday. Mm-hmm. And then I've got a little slot on the village park, on the village street. I think it's around 6.
Yeah, it's good to have a little slot.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And moving on quickly, I'm DJing at the Bulldog Friday and Saturday, Sunday night. So, and we've got the amazing Azaro, who is the singer, who's singing his new track, Rise Above.
Ooh.
So he's going to be singing in the Bulldog on Sunday, just before I start DJing.
Yeah, yeah.
So I've
seen him perform, he's good, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, he played at Worthing Pride, and so it's good to have him on board. So thank you, Azaro, for that.
Wonderful, yeah.
So we're coming to the kind of the end of the show. Well, kind of end of the show. Any thoughts about Pride?
Can I just say, one of my special moments for last year's Pride, and no doubt we'll get lots more than this time as well. I remember being on the Terence Higgins Trust Pride March, whatever, last year, and I had someone come out of the crowd and grab my hand and say, thank you.
Oh, that's brilliant.
And they said, thank you for what you're doing. And it really did. I thought, oh, my goodness. And they just took my hand and said, thank you, as we were sort of, you know, dancing around, you know. And that was a special moment as well.
It just reminds me of when we, because we, after this, the Zero Stigma rally, there was a little after party, wasn't there? Is it Acrobina Bar? I've got that wrong, but in Kemp Town. And we're all sat there waiting for the drag outs to come on. But this guy had bought us loads of champagne, didn't he? He just bought the whole...
Thanked us for doing the day.
And thanked... I mean, I don't think he'd been to the rally, but he just realised who we were and what we were doing.
Right. Yeah.
And he just bought us some champagne and said, thank you so much for what you're doing.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it's good to have some feedback like that.
And it makes you feel proud, doesn't it?
Exactly, that's
what Pride's about, isn't it?
Yes, exactly.
Isn't it?
Yes.
So we're going to finish on, well, guess what we're going to finish on? Have a guess.
Pride.
Ooh. Pride. No, we're going to finish song wise, do you think? No, you don't know. The listeners are just looking at me like blankly. I'll just rise above it and just.
Yeah.
It's going to be Kylie, isn't it?
Oh, Kylie. Oh,
of course,
yes.
Oh, Tony,
yeah, you can't have Pride without Kylie.
Yeah, this is
for
Tony.
This is for
Tony and his little baby dog.
Oh, he's got a new dog, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Puppy yet.
Yeah, always tell us all about that soon.
Yeah, yes, he will.
So have a great Pride, and we wish you well, and keep safe.
Keep safe, everybody. Yeah. Enjoy, but keep safe, eh?
And we'll see you on the other side.
Cheerio.
Here's Kylie. Padam padam.
HIVR is the UK's only show for people living with HIV, sharing stories, news and views on living positively with the virus.